Well, guys, welcome back to the League Express podcast. My name's Jake Keenan, and joining me as always is the editor of League Express, Martin Sather. And Martin, how's your week been?
Oh, it's not been too bad, Jake. We're getting, the season's obviously underway, as we've seen the 1895 Cup has had its second round of matches, and we've had a lot of pre-season games. We've had the first two rounds of the Challenge Cup, with the third round coming up shortly this weekend, so it's been great, and we're looking forward to the start of the Super League season, which is only 10 or so days away now, isn't it? Great. I'm full of optimism and expectation and anticipation, and also it's getting lighter. It's not getting any drier, but it's raining outside, but it's getting better. It's getting lighter. It's getting slightly warmer, although apparently we might even have snow later this week, so we can't take too much for granted, but great to see you again.
No, absolutely, mate. I got a little bit upset last night. I found out that we're due for snow. I think for my tag rugby team, we have a training session out in Wigan on Saturday that I'm hoping to get out to, but someone mentioned that it might be a bit of snow, so I'm a bit worried for that.
Don't worry too much. I'm sure there won't be.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But absolutely, mate, I've been to two preseason games in consecutive weeks over the last 2 weeks, and I didn't realise how much I missed football until I got along to some of those games.
You were at St Helens to watch them beat Salford fairly convincingly, weren't you? And your report in League Express, very worth reading, of course. But you had the onerous task of printing out an incredible number of players' names. I think both sides had about 100 players on the bench, didn't they?
No, it was awesome to see. Like, it's great to go to those games and see the depth of each club. And, you know, we've heard over the last few weeks that Salford have currently got 24 men on their roster, but in that matchup, they did play a lot of their juniors and academy players. So there is depth at the club, but I guess for the Super League season going forward, they've only got 24 signed on.
They can't afford too many major injuries, can they, this year, Salford? They're in the same boat as London, London Broncos, in that they've got a small squad that's not inexperienced in Salford's case, but just not having a great deal of first team depth, and they'll be keeping their fingers crossed that they don't get a massive injury list this year, or otherwise they will have to recruit new players.
No, absolutely. But I will just we'll touch on some of the score lines over the weekend in the pre-season games and the 1895 cup games as well. So we'll quickly touch on the Saints Salford game. From the get-go, Saints looked really good in the first half. They played their pretty much or close to full strength side. There was a few omissions as well, but that connection between Wellsby, Lomax and Darryl Clark, geez, I tell you what, they were really carving up through the middle of the field.
I mean, Darryl Clark, it's really interesting for St Helens this year because there's no Roby. Darryl Clark has stepped into his shoes, and it's going to be really important to see how he goes, because if Darryl Clark goes well at dummy half, then Saints will probably go well. So what's your verdict on Darryl Clark, having seen him?
Really good. He scored his first try for the Red V, and it was a really good effort. He sort of ran, I think it was 65 metres to score, and some fancy
footwork. He's still got
footwork.
A lot of pace, isn't he?
He does. There was some fancy footwork right at the end there to beat a player in cover defence. But yeah, he scored under the sticks, and I think he came off after about 35 minutes, and for the second half, both Salford and St Helens sent out pretty much all their bench players, so they're all able to get a early breather. But you know, you and I were talking before the podcast, like, how much can you take out of these preseason games? You know, some of these results. In other results, mate, Wigan 40 defeated Hull FC 0.
Well, that was, I mean, whatever you think about preseason games, that was a big disappointment for Hull, and a major performance by Wigan, wasn't it? I mean, everybody's saying that this year Wigan are going to be the team to beat, and there's nothing that we've seen so far that doesn't, you know, confirm that, really. Disappointing for Hull, because, of course, I think, you know, I would love to see Hull having a really big season. You know, they're a big team playing a big stadium. They're a big club they're an A-grade club in terms of the, IMG gradings. So we want them to do well. And as we've said, pre-season games don't always mean an awful lot. But nonetheless, it would have been good to see them giving Wigan a tighter game, wouldn't it?
No, absolutely. And it looks like, Wigan are continuing on their form from last year, and you know, if they can keep that form up against Penrith.
Oh, well, let's hope they do. I mean, I'm completely in Wigan's corner for that game, yeah. Jake. I know you're an Aussie, so you might not be, but I'm really hoping that Wigan can keep Penrith to nil in the Penrith have played in 3 World Club Challenge finals and lost them all, and let's hope that it's a 4th one on the way.
No, absolutely.
And, no disrespect to Penrith fans, but my goodness, I'd love to see Wigan do well.
Well, I'm torn because the Penrith Panthers beat my Broncos in the grand final, so I'm still a little bit heartbroken.
So you can come over to our side.
Yeah, I think so, mate. In other games, Oldham and Broncos, 18-all. So it's...
It's really interesting, isn't it? Oldham are playing at Boundary Park, which is the local Oldham Athletic Football Club ground. Obviously, as an Aussie, you may not be familiar with that. And it's a great stadium, in my view, is Boundary Park. It holds about 10 or 12,000 people, just the right size for the football club. And I would love to see the rugby league club in Oldham start to, you know, get bigger crowds there. They're already doing a lot better than they were at their previous somewhat ramshackle home in the town. And they've recruited a lot of players who are, to put it bluntly, well above League One standard. I think they'll cakewalk League One this year. Mm-hmm. You know, it was good to see them giving London Broncos a real good game, and the game ending in a tie. And I think our reporter Ian Wilson said in his report, you know, what was fairly obvious in the game was that Oldham weren't really a League One side, but you know, you had to question whether the Broncos are a Super League side or not. Yeah. And you know, the Broncos looked to me to be facing a long, hard season. And I'm really disappointed that their young hooker Bill Leyland has suffered an ACL injury that will keep him out of Super League for the whole season. That's so disappointing, because he was a kid who I was really looking forward to seeing perform at this level. And you know, if there are some bright spots for London, he would certainly have been one of them. I really feel for their coach Mike Eccles, and of course they've lost another player, haven't they, at the weekend with their fullback Josh Rourke, breaking a leg. You know, it's funny. It's always the teams at the bottom end of the scale who seem to have all the bad luck. It's really weird, isn't it, how that seems to work. And I'm so sorry to see those injuries, you know, being inflicted on them, really.
Absolutely. And, you know, as if they weren't facing enough challenges this season alone. But I will say, a player to watch out for the London Broncos is a young hooker who's come over from the Queensland New South Wales Cup system, Jack Campagnolo. So he plays a bit of hooker. I think he was coming off the bench in the last couple of preseason matches. So,
yeah.
This might be his opportunity to show what he has. But
do you know much about him? Have you got much on his background?
Well,
I think he played for Italy, hasn't he?
He's played a few internationals. So he's a very well-respected player in Australia at the cup level. And he's been in a few NRL systems as well, coming through the ranks. So I just think he hasn't quite been given that opportunity to showcase his talent. So this could be it.
The other guy to watch out for from London, of course, is Dean Parata, who will be making his Super League debut at the age of 32 this year, which is, you know, we've got it in League Express this week, a very nice interview actually with Dean, and again another Italian international. You know, there seem to be quite a lot of them knocking about at the moment. So great, good luck to him. I hope he has a really great year. And it's interesting, isn't it? I can't think immediately of anybody who has made a Super League debut. Apart from in year one, of course, in 1996, when everybody made their Super League debut. But in more recent years, anybody who's made a Super League debut at the age of 32. So, you know, who's not come from the NRL, for example. But, you know, so good luck to him, and good luck to London Broncos.
Absolutely. Anything over the age of 27 is extremely impressive in my view.
It is, yes.
Tack another 5 years on top
still
of that.
Hope for you then, Jake.
I don't know about that, mate. I played tag last night, and I'm a bit sore today, so we'll see how we go. In other results, Leeds, 28. I'm trying to read my own handwriting here. 28 defeated Hull KR 18. It might be a 26 as well. We'll have to check on League Express here. We'll have the results. But nonetheless, a good victory for Leeds. I think Willie Peters came out and said that his side's performance. They weren't quite where he wants them to be at this stage of the preseason.
No. No. I'm sure that's right. Yes, it was 26-18.
Still James, a tight scoreline.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It's that, you know, that's a sort of scoreline that you want in a preseason game, isn't it? And again, you know, lots of players taking the field. You know, the team's certainly not restricting themselves to four or five substitutes, but and you know, a great event for James Donaldson, who I've written about, the Leeds player who was having his testimonial game. And if ever a player deserved a testimonial game, it was him, yep. In my view, because you know his history of injury. I kept an eye on his career ever since his debut in 2009 for Bradford, because he made a debut as a 17-year-old, and after his debut, he more or less became a regular for Bradford Bulls in those days when there was still a team to be reckoned with in Super League. And but sadly, he suffered his first ACL injury in 2010. Then he had another in 2012, and then he, after moving to Hull KR, he had a third ACL injury in 2017. I mean, can you imagine what goes through a player's mind when he has such appalling bad luck? Mm-hmm. And yet, James, you know, he was let go by Hull KR somewhat unceremoniously at the end of 2018 by Tim Sheens, who was the coach at the time. And I think he faced a crisis because he was only 27. You know, it comes back to that 27 you just mentioned. Mm. But his career looked as though it could have been over. And yet Leeds gave him an opportunity. They trialled him initially to see how he'd go. And he went well, and he's been a real stalwart for Leeds in the years since 2018. So I'm delighted for him that he's had a testimonial. I hope it really went well for him in terms of the financial benefit that he got from it. And he's one of my favourite players in Super League, I've got to say, is James. He's such a hard-working, honest sort of a player, and a very good player. And it's just great to see that you know, that he's getting that benefit.
Absolutely. And a real story of perseverance, isn't it? And
it's amazing.
Probably a great example for those young players that are going through tough times with injuries. And it does happen quite regularly, the things that go on behind, you know, closed doors that people don't see. And to have someone like him in your locker room to be able to mentor some of those young players when they're going through injury, it's a huge asset for the club.
Well, when he eventually retires, James could take on that role at any club or more generally, because, you know, who could offer better advice to players who suffer serious injury than him, and the battles that he's fought over the years to come back from them. So, you know, good luck to him, and I hope his career continues for a long time yet.
No, absolutely. And I saw a couple of highlights from that game. It looks like Brody Croft had a good game. There was a runaway try there he scored, so he seems to be settling in well there at Leeds.
Yeah.
So, interesting to see how they go throughout the rest of the season. And but we do have two more results here. Castleford 20 defeated the Giants 14. Probably a decent win for the Tigers, and perhaps worrying signs for the Giants.
Well, again, you know, who knows? I mean, you never quite know what the coaches were hoping to get out of a game like that, do you? And you know, it was obviously a fairly tight game. Paul McShane's testimonial game in this case, and again, I'm delighted for Paul that hopefully there was a big turnout. We've not got a crowd figure for that game, in fact, but hopefully there was a big turnout for it. And you know, Castleford scored four tries in 19 minutes in the second half to seal the game, and that's great for them. And our match reporter Callum Walker made a point of saying that one of the Tigers' new boys, L.A. El Zakem, was a thorn in Huddersfield's side all afternoon. So, you know, let's hope that he's going to be a really good signing for the Tigers, and it will be great to see.
Yeah, definitely. I was just trying to see what position does he play, do we know?
He's
a back row?
Yes, he's a back row, played in the second row. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So keep your eyes out for him.
Keep your eyes out for him, indeed.
Yeah, that's I guess one of the great joys we have in the preseason is seeing, you know, some of these diamonds in the rough, you might say.
Oh yes, it gives you a chance to see players hoping to make their mark. I always find it really interesting.
I was blown away by the depth of, and talent of the Saints squad over the weekend. Like,
yeah,
their the young team came on in that second half and just carried on the stampede from the first half. So really
By the way, how did Wanga Blake play for St. Helens? Was he noticeable?
Not really. I mean, because the first 30 minutes it was a bit of a, as I said, a stampede from Saints, and a lot of their attack was played down the right edge, so he didn't see much ball. But I think they just used that first half to get some miles in his legs and get him used to playing in a match situation. Yeah. So
it's a bit early too.
Yeah, a bit early to tell.
That's judgment, isn't it? Really.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, we know what he's capable of, so I'm sure he'll perform in as the season kicks on. But our last sort of result here, the Lee Leopards 28 defeated the Wolves 12, which was quite a not a big scoreline, but it's bigger than I was expecting.
Well, it's interesting. The Lee team seem to treat pre-season games very, very seriously, don't they? They've got a really great record in pre-season games, and that certainly stood them in good stead last year because they went on to have a great season in the competition proper. I would imagine that, you know, Warrington would be a little bit disappointed by that result. Clearly, probably not the result that they would expect. But again, you know, lots of substitutions. It was 6-12 at half time. Lots of substitutions were, you know, came into the second half. So you can't place too much emphasis on it, really, Jake. And, you know, I mean, the good thing about that game was that there's a crowd of 6,978 there, including an awful lot of Lee supporters. So, you know, great to see that many turning out to a pre-season game. And again, great for Joe Philbin, who was the testimonial player in that particular case. No, so that will have hopefully swelled his bank balance a little. And a great guy. I mean, I was speaking to Joe a week or two ago at the Warrington Media Day, and, you know, what a great young guy he is. You know, I still think of him as a very young guy, actually, because he actually looks younger than he probably is. But but a great kid, great to talk to, and I wish him all the very best for another great year in his case.
No, absolutely. Well, there are most of the Super League pre-season matches. We get into some of the results from the 1895
Cup
games, mate.
Yes.
I don't have the score lines written down. I think it might have been the previous.
Well, let's have a look at the scoreboard. Let's just have a look at this. We've got Whitehaven 12, Barrow Raiders 18. So Barrow are now definitely through to the quarterfinals of that competition. Whitehaven, they've beaten both Whitehaven and Workington, so they can't be caught, and they will feature in the quarterfinals. In Group 2, Dewsbury 4, Bradford 40. Bradford going very, very well there, and they now face a game against Keighley to see which team will go through. Obviously, Bradford will be the favourites to get through. We've then got in Group 3, York 4, Wakefield Trinity 40. You know, Wakefield looking as though they're going to just beat everybody really this year in that competition. They play Newcastle Thunder in their final game, so they're bound to go through. Then in Group 4 it was Rochdale 12, Halifax 52. The final game there is between Oldham and Rochdale, the derby clash between those two sides, and I think Oldham will win that, so Oldham will be probably the only team to go through to the quarterfinals from the from League One, and it just sort of emphasises what we were saying, you know, earlier about Oldham being a team that's probably too strong for League One this year, given the players they've signed. Then we've got in Group 5, Batley beat Featherstone, a very exciting game, 15 points to 14 with a late Josh Woods drop goal. And it looks to me as though Batley are going to go through there because they've only got to play Hunslet, so that will be a shock for Featherstone that they don't go through. So the holders, Halifax, look as though they're going to be out in group from Group 4, and Featherstone, who got to the 1895 Cup final the year before, they look as though they're going to go out as well. So it's quite interesting, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Then in Group 6, we've got Swinton beating Widnes 18-6, and Swinton are now bound to qualify. They've got 4 points from two games. Widnes and North Wales still on zero.
Yep.
And finally in Group 7, another exciting game here at Doncaster. Doncaster 18, Sheffield Eagles 22. And that means Sheffield Eagles will probably almost certainly go through because they've got one game left against Midlands Hurricanes.
Yep.
So we've got probably the seven qualifiers fairly well sorted out, and there will be one additional team, the team that comes second but with the best record, and that's likely to be York because of their very easy win over Newcastle Thunder with a century of points last weekend. So, you know, it's an interesting competition, and of course the winner, well, the two teams can contest the final at Wembley, so it's a competition worth winning. And the way things stand, Wakefield are obviously going to be the favourites. Mm. And if they do get to Wembley, it would be the first time for them since 1979, when they lost to Widnes in the Challenge Cup final. So I'm sure they'd take loads of supporters, would Wakefield, and we'll see if they do get there. Who they will play in that game.
What are your expectations for Featherston this year? I know they've lost a heap of players after coming up short in the final last year, obviously not getting promotion. Is there slight concerns early on in the year for
Well, the problem
future?
Is that the problem for Featherston is in the last few years they've put everything into trying to get promotion by conventional means, and they've failed because they, you know, because other teams have beaten them. London beat them last year in the playoffs. The previous year it was Lee, of course. Well, in fact, it was Batley who beat them and stopped them from getting to the promotion grand final against Lee. This year, of course, they can't get promotion with their performances on the field. That's the incredible thing, isn't it? So they seem to have decided to try a different route, and I think they're probably hoping to improve their grading score, you know, by improving in other areas apart from just on the field. So it's going to be a more modest season of achievement, I think, for Featherston. But they'll still be, you know, I mean, Batley are no mean side, and to go to Batley and be beaten by a point late on is not necessarily a bad performance. I didn't see the game, obviously. But, you know, I don't think Featherston fans should give up all hope of improvement this year. And I'm sure James Ford is a pretty smart coach. Not as much to play with financially this year, but I'm sure he'll come up with a decent side from week to week.
All right, so Martin, we got a few fixtures this weekend. Is there any there that you're most looking forward to, or one that the viewers should?
Well, there's one that I'd like to see, but won't be able to because it's being played in London on Saturday, in round three of the Challenge Cup. It's the derby match between Hammersmith Hills Hoists and West Warriors, and these two teams have both beaten Northern amateur teams to get into the third round of the Challenge Cup. The third round, of course, is when all the professional clubs from the Championship and League One joined the competition. But fortunately, those two teams have managed to avoid being drawn against professional teams. And it's going to be a London derby, you know, to get to the next round, to get to the fourth round. So what a great prospect that is. And if you're watching this, you know, podcast, and you're anywhere near London, get along on Saturday if you possibly can. And I think it's going to be a real good event, to be honest.
No, absolutely. And we've also got a couple of games this weekend that will be available to watch through various services. We've got one on the BBC on Saturday.
On Saturday, Barrow versus Oldham. That's probably the match of the round, really, because Oldham have started like a house on fire. They're a League One club. But when you look at their squad, they shouldn't be a League One club. They should be in the Championship. Mm. And they travel to Barrow for a game that kicks off at 12:30 on Saturday. And, you know, that's going to be a real challenge for both sides. I think they'll produce a great game. Barrow are a very good Championship side, but they will be well aware that Oldham will be coming to, you know, upset the apple cart. And we've said already, I think, that Oldham are through to the last eight of the 1895 Cup, and they'll be very keen to get through to the fourth round of the Challenge Cup. So one really to watch, BBC Online, 12:30 kickoff on Saturday.
Yep.
So, you know, switch your switch your computer or TV set on or whatever you use to watch BBC games online.
Absolutely. And we've got one on Sunday as well on The Sportsman. Is
yes, Dewsbury versus York, a game between two championship clubs, which kicks off at 2 o'clock on Sunday. York will probably be the favourites to win that game, but Dewsbury will no doubt want to bounce back from their defeat to Bradford at the weekend in the 1895 Cup. Dewsbury newly promoted into the Championship this year. So that's going to be another very interesting game and one well worth watching. There are a few games, you know, to talk about in the Challenge Cup this weekend, Jake. Cornwall, they make their seasonal debut. They've not been playing in the 1895 Cup. And York Acorn, the community side from York, obviously, they faced a very long journey down to Penryn in the far west of Cornwall to play Cornwall, and that's a game that kicks off at 1 o'clock. So God knows what time York Acorn will have to get up to, you know, go down for that game. It'll take them at least 7 or 8 hours to get down to Cornwall. So when they get there, if they're still awake, hopefully they'll give Cornwall a very good game. And it's going to be interesting to see how Cornwall perform. There's another game on Saturday between two very strong amateur clubs, Loch Lane, the Castleford club, and Hunslet, ARLFC, the Leeds-based club, and they play at Loch Lane in a game that kicks off at 2 o'clock. So, you know, and of course, we've then on the same day, we've got the interesting situation of Siddle, the amateur club based near Halifax, playing host to Wakefield Trinity. You know, Wakefield will probably take a lot of fans to that, and I'm not quite sure how many will be able to see the game at Siddle's you know, pitch there, but that's going to be quite fascinating as well. And then we've got Thatto Heath in St Helens hosting Featherstone on Saturday at 2 o'clock as well, another amateur club hosting a professional club. So, yeah. And then another all amateur tie on Saturday, Stanningley and Wathbrow Hornets. So, you know, it's a really fascinating third round draw, Jake, for this competition. And, you know, we're going to see some really interesting games taking place, particularly on Saturday. And it's going to be fascinating to see who gets through.
No, absolutely. And if any of our viewers or listeners do want any more information on those fixtures, make sure you grab a copy of the League Express newspaper.
It's all in here, yes.
That's right. Or you can get it on pocketmags.com for the online
edition. The digital version, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And while we're at it, Martin, we've also got the Rugby League World magazine here on our desk as well. And this month's edition also comes with the 2024.
Yes, the preview edition for Super League, it previews both Super League and the 1895 Cup, but also has the little fixtures booklet for the season for all competitions, including Women's Super League, interestingly enough. So, you know, if you want to know who's playing where at any time during the season, get a copy of the magazine and you'll get this little booklet that comes with it, and it's really popular. You know, people love, because you can put that into your inside pocket. So if you've got that with you, you need never miss one of your club's games or any other game anywhere else.
We've also got some good news stories in this week's edition as well, Martin. A false diagnosis, I guess you could say.
Yes. Well, I mean, that's an incredible story, isn't it? Paul Gill, the ex-Leeds player, you know, from probably about 30 years ago now, he was diagnosed early last year with motor neurone disease, and you can imagine what a, you know, hammer blow that is to anyone to get that diagnosis. But some months later, probably 8 or 9 months later, Paul then had another medical test and was told that it wasn't motor neurone disease. Fantastic, really. And it was a condition that sort of mimicked MND in the early stages, but it was apparently caused by the fact that he was taking statins, which people are prescribed to try to lower cholesterol levels. And, you know, it's quite worrying to think that, you know, that prescribed drugs like that can have side effects that nobody obviously would have anticipated.
Mm.
And he's obviously now he stopped taking statins and he's on the road to a full recovery. But there's a wonderful interview with him in our Rugby League Heroes series in League Express this week, in which he, you know, explains what it's like to suddenly get your life back, basically, and how, you know, he's celebrating with his wife and family and so on. Mm. And it's a wonderful interview with him, and I would recommend anybody to see it if you possibly can. I think it will be on the TotalRL.com website as well. So, but you know, it's worth buying the issue of League Express just to read that this week, in my view.
No, absolutely, that'd give you a whole new lease on life, wouldn't it? Like,
gosh,
getting the news like that, I can
absolutely.
Only imagine the relief that must have. He must have felt when he heard that news. But
well, it's a thing we all dread, isn't it? Being told we've got some horrible disease. You know, it's a thing that we all, touch wood, hopefully we won't be told
through,
but you never know when that's going to happen. We've seen with the King this week, haven't we, being told he's got cancer. You know, our best wishes go out to him, of course, for a recovery from that. And you know, any of us at any time can be suddenly told that there's something that's eating away at us, and it's a awful thought.
Mm, no, absolutely. Well, our best wishes go out to his family. I'm sure, you know, they'll. Well, I guess they probably deserve a holiday after all that
well,
stress
I think
they probably
have
went
yes.
through.
Yeah.
But we'll get into some of the news that's making the rounds at the moment. We spoke about coverage for this weekend, but there's been a new deal negotiated between the Super League and Talk Sports, which will see them broadcast 40 games per season. I think it's over a few years, and starting in round one with the Hull Derby, Hull FC. So I think they're going to, broadcast that game, which would be interesting to see.
It would. I mean, I think Talk Sport do a really good job on their rugby league coverage, and it's good to see them getting. I think it's a 2-year deal, isn't it? And you know, Mark Wilson's going to be their lead commentator. Mark's a very good commentator, but he's going to be pretty busy this year because he is also going to be working for Sky on their TV coverage, as well as obviously for Talk Sport. And he often works for Premier Sport. If Premier Sport come back to broadcast the championship, as we hope they will, then he normally takes that that job as well. So he's going to be a very busy guy this year, and you know, who knows, he might even be commentating for the BBC as well. We've not yet heard from them who their commentary team is going to be, but so you know, it's a good look to him, and he's going to be quite tired by the end of the year, I think.
No, absolutely. A busy man. Hopefully we can get something worked out for the championship, because it'd be a shame to not have any of
it
those
would.
Games televised.
It would, but it certainly would, yes. Isn't it? I think all championship club supporters would agree with that, I'm sure.
Mm, absolutely. Now, I wanted to get some of your thoughts, Martin, on obviously we had Robert Hicks on, the former referee, and also he's working behind the scenes at the RFL at the moment. He's the Director of Operations and Legal, is his current role, but he sort of spoke to us about a few things that caught our attention in last week's episode, and I encourage all of our listeners who haven't listened to that episode, go back and watch or listen. But one of the things he pointed out was some of the legal action that's sort of been taken against the sport at the moment. A lot of former players have joined an active claim around, I guess, the league's handling of head injuries over the years. I read a report from last year that said that there was about 100 players that have put their names in an active claim, but Robert said to us last week that there's now approximately 160 players that have joined that active claim. It was news to you and I, but I guess what was your reaction to that? We didn't really get to discuss as long as we would have liked to.
Certainly surprised that the number was so great. Mm. That's one thing for sure. But obviously, I think we all have enormous sympathy for any player, former player, who is suffering from any form of dementia or, you know, however serious that may be. Mm. And it's clearly an important issue for the Rugby Football League, but Rob is, or certainly made it very clear that he was confident that the RFL can counter the legal action that's being taken against it. I mean, it's a very difficult one, isn't it, for somebody to claim that their condition later in life was specifically caused by them playing a particular sport when they were in their, say, 20s. Mm. Because plenty of people get dementia who have never played any contact sport. So how can you say that the dementia you suffer perhaps in your 60s or 70s was necessarily caused by playing rugby in your 20s? It's difficult to get that firm connection. But even if you can prove in some way that there is a direct correlation, how can you then demonstrate that the RFL was neglectful of its duties to protect you? Because as Rob made the point very eloquently last week, you can only, as a governing body of a sport, you can only base your decisions on the knowledge that you have at the time. Mm. And certainly in the 1970s, knowledge about the impact of head knocks, you know, head collisions, head trauma, mm. was nothing like as advanced as it is today. And of course, the attitude of the RFL in 2024 is very different from what it was in the 1970s. Mm. So, you know, to actually prove that the RFL has been negligent is quite a challenge to any body who is legally representing those players whose names have been included in that list of 160. Mm. So, you know, we wait to find out what the result of that will be, but I think it'll be a slow moving process, mm. to be honest. And I wouldn't expect us to have any court cases this year. I wouldn't have thought, but you know, you never know. It maybe the wheels of justice turn more quickly mm. in this sort of situation.
Absolutely. I was slightly surprised by the date range that he referenced. He said his players playing from 1970 right through till 2023, which,
yes,
it's, I guess, quite worrying if there are players who are coming to the end of their careers, even recently, that are experiencing,
yes,
some form of symptoms. So,
well, to think that a player who played in 2023 might be experiencing symptoms of that sort, it is worrying. And, we've not got the names of those players. There are one or two well-known players who have admitted that they are part of this group, but only a very small number.
Mm.
So it would be interesting to know who, you know, if they wanted to put their own names forward, we'd obviously be very interested to hear from them.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, we're seeing with some of the changes they're making, obviously the new tackling heights coming in from next season. So it's not as if they're not being proactive now, that we do have the studies and the research to back some of the stuff that's going on.
Yes.
But, yeah, it'll be an interesting couple of years coming forward to see where that all ends up and whether they combine all the sports together, which is one of the things Rob said. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, very interesting stuff.
Yeah, I think all collision sports are under pressure at the moment in that sense. But at the end of the day, you've got to say, would you let your kid play rugby league, you know, if you were a father of a young child, you know, who was very keen on playing the game? And I think there's no doubt that I certainly would do if I were in that position. There are lots of things that you want to protect your children from, but playing rugby is not high on the list, in my view.
Mm.
You know, obviously, there are so many other things that can be mind-altering. I mean, you know, I've never taken drugs of any sort, because I'm quite frankly, well, A, I don't believe in them anyway, but I'd be frightened of doing so, because you don't know what effect, you know, illicit drugs have on your brain function.
Mm.
So I think, you know, drugs and even alcohol, excessive drinking of alcohol can be, you know, can have a very negative effect on your brain health, in my view. But I'm speaking as a layman, not as a medical professional. But there are lots of things that we can do to try and protect our brain health. And as I say, the fact that you might have played rugby as a kid or as a young man isn't probably high on my list of things to avoid.
Mm, no, absolutely. In other news, down under at the moment, there's currently an inquest ongoing into the death of a young Manly Sea Eagles player, which happened back in 2020, I believe, Keith Titmus. He sort of collapsed at training, was unfortunately, died shortly thereafter. But in the inquest, the court heard the other day that he passed away from a severe heat stroke, and paramedics revealed that...
Yes, how sad is that?
Yeah, the paramedics revealed that when they arrived to the scene, that his body temperature was 41.9 degrees, which is, you know, I guess no one wants to get to that.
The highest temperature they'd ever experienced.
But very...
I mean, it's a problem, isn't it, in Australia, where the pre-season in Australia takes place almost at the height of summer, doesn't it? And it can get very hot over there. And I think this is a warning shot really across the bows of the game in the NRL that, you know, if the weather is very, very hot, you need to be very careful what you're doing with your players, not to expose them to this terrible danger, you know. And I'm sure all the clubs in the NRL and in all competitions in Australia will be taking that lesson on board, I would imagine.
No, absolutely.
And our sympathies go to Keith Titmuss's family.
No, absolutely. And it's like, you know, it's been going on 4 years now, which doesn't seem like that long ago, does it? But yeah, to have them to sort of have to sit through this, it must be quite an emotional time for them.
Yes.
So our thoughts go out to the Titmuss family. In some other news from down under, Ezra Mam has re-signed with the Brisbane Broncos for a further 5 years. I'm very pleased.
I wonder why you're in such a good mood. Yeah.
I'm very pleased to hear that news. Yeah. They just need to lock down Reece Walsh.
They do.
So,
did you see that thing they had with Reece Walsh and Tom Brady?
Yes.
Yeah, throwing the ball, you know, and Reece Walsh catching it, you know.
Yeah. I was a bit worried. I was thinking, oh, he better not try and poach Reece Walsh over to the NFL.
Well, he'd make a great running back, wouldn't he? Although he'd be a bit small for the NFL, unfortunately.
You'd have to put on a bit of weight.
But
also, Martin, we just forgot to touch on the readers' poll from last week around some of the... I think it was a question on the coverage. Where would you like to consume your rugby league next year?
Well, interestingly enough, we actually set this readers' poll to find out how the fans how the readers would respond to the new streaming service that rugby league is... proposing to provide this season, the Super League Plus service. And we asked them, how do you intend to consume Super League in 2024? Only 9.46% of readers said that they'll subscribe to that service. So there's quite a bit to do to get readers on side with that. 46.32% said they would subscribe to Sky Sports. So that's good news for Sky Sports. 21.56% said they'd only attend live matches. They wouldn't watch the game on TV at all. And 20.13% said they'd rely on the BBC's coverage. And only 3.52% said they'd only listen to radio coverage of the game. Which doesn't mean to say that only 3.52% will tune into radio. It just means that only that amount of readers will listen to radio exclusively to hear about the game. So it's not such bad news for TalkSport, for example, who have just signed this new deal. So, interesting. I think whenever you introduce anything new, you need to do quite a bit to promote it. And obviously, Rugby League Commercial will be aware of that. They're asking fans to shell out to watch these games if they don't already subscribe to Sky Sports, and it'll be interesting to see how many fans do that. But I wrote a piece in my column this week saying, you know, if you run a business, you can either generate more money by getting more money from your existing customer base, or you can expand your customer base, or a combination of both. And this streaming service is very much a case of getting more money in from your established audience. And you know what Rugby League Commercial really needs to do is to expand that customer base, not simply try and exploit the existing customer base for more money. And again, I'm sure that Rodri Jones and the people at RL Commercial will be well aware of that, of course.
No, absolutely. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with those subscriber numbers for the new streaming service, Plus. It'll be interesting to see if that grows throughout the year as the season goes on.
Exactly,
especially if it's a great product. I'm sure people will be...
we'll see, and I hope it is, obviously.
It'd be interesting, and it'd be nice to get a number for, I guess, how many people have signed up already, so... don't know if they'll reveal that to us, but it'd be great to see. All right, Martin, is there anything else you'd like to touch on before we get
out
of here, mate?
Just a couple of things. We've published a couple of books quite recently, Rugby League 2023-24. We're down to the last few of these now, so if you want to get this yearbook before the season starts, go to totalrl.com/shop. Mm-hmm. And the same goes for this wonderful book that Richard de la Riviere has written, 50 Wigan Legends, 50 interviews with great Wigan players. I think that's an absolutely outstanding book. If you enjoy players talking about their career and giving lots of funny insights into things that happened during their careers, then you will really love this book, even if you're not a Wigan fan, I hasten to say, because a lot of the players in this book are internationals and, you know, they've played for other clubs as well. So they don't just talk necessarily about Wigan, although a lot of them, you know, do, obviously. But it's a wonderful book, and the players who are in it can all be seen on the front cover.
Yep.
50 players there.
A lot of impressive players.
Yes. Elry Hanley takes centre stage there. There's a great interview with him in this book, and he doesn't often give major interviews. So, you know, you get the chance to see what Elry had to say. And I think it's a wonderful book. And again, as I say, go to totalrl.com/shop and you can buy it there.
No, absolutely. And if you are still with us, don't forget to hit subscribe on the YouTube channel or even on Spotify as well. I'm sure there's a way you can set up to get notifications when we do upload our episodes weekly. So, all right, mate, we might end it up here. Thanks again for joining us, everyone, and we'll do it all again next week, Martin.
It's a pleasure, Jake, and thanks to everybody for watching, and we'll see you next week.
Perfect. Thanks,
cheers,
mate.
Bye.